Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hi, guys. Today I have on the phone with me Britt Bolnick of In Arms Coaching, and she primarily works with entrepreneurs, but she just has this amazing quote that I pulled from her website, which says, "I'd rather show you how to become deeply and completely rooted and crystal clear in the art, science, and magic of being you." Okay, guys, you guys have been listening, and you know that that's, I feel like I could have written that, except that she said it way better than I ever, you know, articulate. So Britt and I got connected through a Facebook group that we're both in, and Ashley, who was a guest a while back, caught that and connected us. So hats off to Ashley. I'm really excited about this. But Britt, I want you to go ahead and introduce yourself, and then we'll just kind of go from there.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for having me, first of all. This is pretty exciting. The way that I describe myself or the work that I do, part of the work that I do is that I mentor and coach women, entrepreneurs, business owners, leaders, visionaries in learning to do the work that they love in the world, have the impact, and be able to abundantly support themselves without, you know, any kind of giving sacrifice or compromise or burnout.
That's great. Yeah. Okay.
So that's the work that I do. And then I'm also the founder of Pity Posse Rescue and Sanctuary, which is a pit bull advocacy and dog rescue here in the state of Maine.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So I saw that, that you did that, and I didn't dig in to find out the name of it, but I saw that you did that, and I was so excited. I love dogs. They are just, they are the best. And there's such, specifically with that breed, right? They need an advocate.
They really do.
Oh, so cool. So tell us how you got there then, I guess. Like, how did you, how did your journey land you in this place where you're coaching and, you know, mentoring and leading other women, but also doing this super cool rescue? We don't all know your story. I know just briefly what I caught of your story, but it certainly, this wasn't your reality always. So could you walk us through that and how you got to this place where you embrace and help others embrace their authenticity?
Sure. I can do the nutshell version because I'm trying to write a book about the whole version and it's really overwhelming. I grew up in New York City in 1970s, 1980s, New York City, and had kind of a turbulent childhood. Really acted out a lot as an adolescent, ran the streets, ran away from home several times, was kind of in trouble for most of my adolescence, and then started finding my way out in my early 20s, to give you the really abridged version. Mm-hmm. I wound up teaching men and women in the New York City jail system, and then in a maximum security facility for women for many years. And that's where I really started to explore and enjoy the world of mentoring and the way that you can touch people by guiding and inspiring them and helping them to find forms of education that really excite them. So I think that that was actually my first foray into the world of mentorship and teaching, which is the way that I coach the women that I work with. It's very much a very hands-on sort of style that is more mentorship than your average, like, Marie Forleo sort of business coaching.
Right.
And then I had Bella. I had my daughter. I was with her husband for, like, the blink of an eye, and then he kind of ran off. And I was left with this kid that I had to support, you know, that I was you know, I needed to support. I had a waitressing and bartending job at night. Everything just sort of crashed and burned. We had no money. We lost a building I had bought in Brooklyn, New York, which was sort of like my future, that got foreclosed on and taken back by the bank. We had to move in with my mother so that I could continue to work nights. And I just had this sort of epiphany that it was me and this kid. You know, the guy was gone, which, you know, con is that there was no child support. Pro is that there was no custody issues. This was my kid. And I had this sort of, like, new window. Like, I could build any kind of life that we wanted. So I started thinking about what I really wanted to be doing. And as I came more and more out of that depression and, you know, just bottomless well of despair, I wanted to reach out to other moms specifically at that point and lend a helping hand. And that's how I started in-house coaching. It was parenting coaching at first for really burned out moms. And then it kind of, women just sort of kept coming to me for larger issues, and it became life coaching. And then I really realized as I became more successful that what I really loved was, you know, life coaching felt kind of amorphous to me, and, like, I didn't really know. It just felt not finite enough, and what I really loved was helping women learn how to do the work that they want to do in the world, how to get seen doing that work and having that impact, and then how to make more than enough money to support themselves. And that was really where I excelled. And in-arms sort of gravitated to that. And with the tools that I learned in order to grow in-arms and the tools that I taught other women around time management and building a business that doesn't require you to basically kill yourself to succeed, I was able then to apply that to starting a dog rescue, which had been a lifelong dream of mine. And I created enough free time. I mean, I run in-arms coaching in basically 3 days a week. And then I have the rest of the week for me, my family, and, you know, dog rescue.
That's such a powerful story, truly.
Thank you.
Yeah, to overcome that. So what were, I guess, tools that you used or things that helped you as you were transitioning from really one thing to the next, but really coming out of this and going, okay, so now we're going to make these things happen, and I'm going to do it in a way that feels right to me, or truly honors who I know, what I know about myself?
That's a great question. And I think that one of the things that was really important was that I took the time to understand where my strengths are and where my absolute blind and weakest spots are, and I compensated for those blind and weakest spots. So one of the things that I've done all along, which I think has really been a pillar of the success that I've been able to build, is to get support. Back in those days when I could barely buy groceries, I took on extra shifts to work with a business coach right out the gate, like from the minute of inception of in-arms coaching. I actually had a business coach that was already in my life and I loved dearly, and I worked my butt off to be able to afford her support, and that really helped her support, her mentorship. And then the other pieces are, you know, I didn't have a plan B, even though my mother kept saying, you know, don't you think you should have a plan B for when this business idea of yours fails? And she said it, by the way, way past the point where I was making more money than she had ever made.
That's interesting.
So, you know, I believed in myself, and there was no other option. This had to work. So those are two of the things. And then I had my sense of, I mean, I've always been a really spiritual person, and I had my sense that there was something bigger that I could turn to for guidance and support. I never really felt alone in anything, and that's a really big piece of it.
Yeah, no, it is. So much of what you just said there has me, like, ready to go on tangents here, so, you know, try to reel it in a little bit. But one is time, right? Taking the time to do the work, to get to know yourself, to, you know, I talk about that part of resilience is that as a part of resilience, you have to know what your strengths are and your weaknesses so that you can leverage both of them. You know, if you know about yourself that you aren't really great at organizing, right? If you know that and can acknowledge that, you can go, okay, you know what? A really good way for me to get some of the support I need is to set aside a little bit of money to bring in somebody who helps me organize. Or if I have a friend that's just good at that and that's something they enjoy doing, you know, whatever it is. Whatever that thing is, to find that. So I love that you touched on that. And then the second piece of what I said, which is just the support, right? Finding the support that you need. And that last piece, right? Just believing, like selling out, right? Like, I am all in on this idea. You know, there is no plan B. This is what I'm doing. And, you know, if it's just going to work, it just has to work, right? And when you're in alignment with whatever your spiritual practices are and whatever that looks like, it's a lot easier to do that, I think, and trust the process. But also knowing that, like, that doesn't necessarily guarantee success, but that does mean that at the end of it, you will have learned something that will get you one step closer. That somehow through that process,
it will help you. Exactly.
So
it would have been really important.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I fully agree. So when you know, briefly touched on just, you kind of found your way out of it, right? What did that, in terms of, was the kind of turbulence and acting out, was that a rebellion against something else, or was that a, I'm not, and obviously the way we think of it as a youth is a little bit different, right? But is that a, I'm doing this because I'm kind of trying to find myself because I don't actually know what that is? Or was it like, I'm doing these things because these things feel true and right to me? Or this feels good and I'm going to do it, you know?
I think that there wasn't that much consciousness as there is when I do things now, obviously. But, you know, I was a really angry kid. I was a really hurt kid. I mean, I think most of it boils down to that. I was really angry and really hurt. And, you know, the way that most girls use that energy is we turn it against ourselves, whereas, you know, statistically, boys tend to lash out a little more and girls self-destruct. And I think I was just on this path of self-destruction from not really knowing any other ways to deal with what was wrong.
So if I can ask, what started you on this path of finding your way out of that?
There were a lot of different things, like little pieces, little lifelines that were thrown to me. One was a more formal connection with my spirituality. I had always been a spiritual being, but I didn't really have a path. So I started learning about, like, herbalism and plant spirits and, you know, spirituality in the natural world, and the connection to the natural world, and that really helped, alongside with an uncle that I was very close to, really my favorite person in my life growing up. And he was kind of an old Italian woodsman, hated most people, and he was just my favorite person, and he really fostered my connection to spirituality. And I spent a lot of time with him and my aunt. They lived in a very rural area on a farm, and that really helped too, to kind of take me out of my environment and show me a bigger world and a connection to the natural world, which I really didn't have in, you know, 1980s New York City. So those things really helped. And then I also wound up at a really amazing college, Vermont College in Montpelier, which is based on adult independent study program. Ooh. And I was it was amazing. I had been to a formal college. I hated it. I don't really do well sitting in a room and listening to someone talk. But Vermont College had you could do your average, undergraduate bachelor program by studying the things that you were interested in, and then, reading a whole lot about them and then writing a whole lot about them. And that was really how I loved learning. So I graduated through their undergraduate program, loved it so much. I enrolled in their master's program just kind of because I didn't want to stop going. And that outlet really gave me fascination and a joy in education that kind of pulled me the rest of the way out.
Yeah.
Those are the easy answers.
Wow. Well, that's really, what an amazing program, first of all. Gosh, imagine how many more people and kids, right? Kids aren't people, but you know what I'm saying. Grown-ups and kids would learn. Things that they're missing out on just because of the structure, right, of our system. So that's, wow, so cool that you found that. That you had people, and that's what it's about, right? I don't think you can find anyone out there who's like, yep, nope, totally did it on my own. Anybody you ask, and to varying degrees, obviously, but anybody you talk to and ask those sorts of questions, it's always, there was at least one person in my corner. And there was one thing that, one system or program or plan that really aligned with who I am and how I do things. Uh-huh. It's not like, oh man, everything was perfect.
Right.
But there was that one person that I always could connect with, or there was that one thing.
Yeah.
And when you get both of them, that helps.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let me ask you, I've talked about, just briefly in our conversation, right? I've thrown out the term resilience and the term, terms like being really authentic and in alignment with yourself. But how would you define resilience and authenticity?
I think resilience for me is about the ability to think with your higher self about what's happened. So, one of my favorite books is a book, I've been talking a lot about it lately for some reason. My mother gave it to me in my early teens, and it's by a man named Dr. Viktor Frankl, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning. Have you read it?
I have not.
So good.
But,
so good. So his premise in the book, it's about him, it's his memoir of surviving the Holocaust. In Austria, was he in Austria? I can't remember. But his premise was basically that while we can't control what happens to us necessarily, we always retain control over our reaction to what happens to us and what we do with it. And I think that resilience is about stepping outside of our immediate experience and getting a view of it from our higher power and deciding what we want to do about it.
That's
my interpretation.
Okay. Yeah, I love that. So, to you, how does that play into authenticity and freedom
Well, I think that to be authentic, you have to be living from that higher power, that higher truth. You have to have a connection to yourself that allows you to step out of your immediate moment and reactive mode. So it ties together because you have to be in that place to be living an authentic life. And you have to be in that place to be able to, practice resilience. So those are really, really important. And I think that those take a certain amount of maturity, of support, of time and space to really connect with yourself. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, no, that does. That does.
And what was the other piece?
Freedom. How does that fit in and relate to those for you?
Well, so So for me, freedom is about being able to choose how I respond rather than being stuck in reactive mode. Sort of everywhere, in my work, in my finances, in my marriage, in my parenting, in my self-care, in my friendships. That's what freedom means to me. There's a sovereignty that means being able to act from my own sense of authority, and not being controlled by anyone else. And when you're stuck actually in a reactive mode, you are very much controlled by other people and things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I often describe freedom or define freedom as the ability to choose the experiences that I want. And
love that.
And that, yeah, I love the way you put it. It's another way to me of saying that same thing, right? Just being able to choose the experience I want, which a part of that is obviously the way in which I react to things, or that I don't that I'm responding, not reacting, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And that I'm building that. I know you have one kiddo. I have three little ones. The oldest is 10 now, so I feel like they're not as little anymore. But you know, it's a thing that comes up time and time again is, you know, emotions are real, and whatever emotion or feeling that you have is legit, and you are allowed to have it, and you are allowed to have big feelings, and you should. They're a part of what makes us us and what makes us people.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that we get to react however we want. It doesn't mean we get to take action on that feeling.
Feelings and actions are different, and for a lot of people that's not necessarily a given.
Yeah.
Like, you can have your feelings and still choose how to react.
Exactly. So, yeah, and so, you know, trying to explain this in a way that young children conceptualize is so different, right? But just that idea, like, you know, I'm like, right now, like, you're just reacting from this feeling that you have, and you're just acting based on that. I'm like, but, like, you actually have the choice to not do that. You get to choose that, and that's what freedom is, right? You having the choice in front of you. Am I going to do this, or am I going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least that's a part of it. Cool. You have a heart for dogs. Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of fostered that? Like, were you always, like, were you the 2-year-old, like, pet the doggy everywhere you go? Or was it a later in
life? We always had dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, we always had dogs. And my mom is a huge dog person. And she's also very, you know, I can remember us, like, not having dinner one night because we saw a stray dog on the way home from the grocery store. So we ran home and got dog food, and we spent like 3 hours chasing him through the streets of New York and trying to catch him. Like, she's very active in things like that. So it was instilled in me, you know, at a young age. And I just, you know, from the time I was a teenager on, I wanted a dog rescue. I wanted to have a sanctuary.
Very.
And I made it happen.
Yeah, you did, just really incredible. So what does that look like? Tell us about it.
So about the rescue in particular?
In particular.
So Pity Posse and Rescue and Sanctuary is, at this point, only a rescue. We're working on the sanctuary aspect. But it is a group that we do rescue dogs, but we really want to focus long-term on the reasons that dogs need rescue.
Mm.
So we're fundraising to have land. We do a lot of education and community support around positive training of dogs, around responsible dog ownership, around advocacy and legislation that protects the dogs. So eventually we want like an entire sanctuary, training facility, vet clinic. And we're actually chugging away towards that. We've gotten a lot of, we've covered a lot of ground. We've gained a lot of ground in just 2 years and become, you know, our social media reaches are up to like 80,000 organic reach. So we've really been able to garner a lot of support for this in the last 2 years.
Yeah, that's great. Just really remarkable that you've been able to do that in that amount of time. And I think probably also speaks to, you know, you doing what you do in your business life. you know, you know how to set things up in such a way that they're setting you up for success, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to failure, right? Like, you're planning and you know what those processes are that are beneficial. And the other piece is that it's something that's, one, in alignment with who you are and what you believe, but also meets a need.
Yeah. And one of the things that kept me from doing this for so long was, you know, the examples that I have of women who own dog rescues, because it's almost all women, is women who just are constantly on the edge of, like, deadly illness, women who are burned out, women who go bankrupt running their business, you know, their rescues, women who lose their job because of their rescue. And I just kept thinking, there's no good time to basically ditch my marriage and stop parenting my kids and go bankrupt to start a dog rescue.
Right. Weird.
Good time, really.
Yeah.
It was never right for that. But then what I realized was that, you know, one of the like focal points of the way that I guide women business owners to, you know, to success is that they don't have to sacrifice their life. And I do show them ways to make time for everything that they love. And I do model, you know, a really healthy, kind of luxurious work-life balance. And I started thinking, why can't I create my rescue the same way that I created my business? And then maybe become an inspiration to other rescue workers so that they don't have to burn out to rescue. So I actually started Pity Posse very much as a business, with a huge focus on getting team members on board from the beginning, so it was never all me, with a huge focus on branding and visibility so that, you know, we have way more visibility and reach than many rescues who have been around for 10 or 20 years. And part of it is because we built a brand. Yeah. We built a mission. It's not just a funneling of dogs from, you know, south to north.
Right. Oh, so cool. It really is. I love that. So you were kind of your greatest client at the end of the day.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, I know how to do this. People pay me to teach them to do this. I can do this.
Right. Oh, I love that. I love that. So aside from the obvious, which I feel like you already stated, which is just that you love mentoring and teaching, what is your favorite thing about your job, about what you do? I say your job, it doesn't feel like for you it's a job, right?
It's my passion. My passion. I love it. I think that one of my favorite things is, first of all, my clients. I love every single woman that I work with, and I'm personally invested in her building her version of success. And I love seeing them take what I'm teaching them and learn to get out of their own way and learn to be visible and see that it's not actually going to cost them. You know, one of the things that women bring to the concept of business success is, oh my gosh, if my business is a success, I won't have time to put my kids to bed, or I won't have time to take vacations. And that really holds them back. So watching them understand that they get to build it their way, that they get to have days off and maybe even more of them, and they can still have the impact that they want to have in the world and do what they want to do, is just absolutely magical for me.
And I love, you've mentioned a couple times now, either, you know, being seen or visible, and I think particularly, like, as a woman, that's something that we do, right? We often shrink back, and sometimes it's on us. Sometimes it's us doing that, right? Like, it can be terrifying to be out there and be seen, and be that vulnerable. But at the same time, our environment and culture also does that, right? And, you know, it's easy to not be, you know, like, I hear women all the time saying things like, no one ever took me seriously. I've never, or, you know, no one saw me, or like, oh, you spoke to this thing and no one else has ever noticed that before about me. And I'm like, what? It's like an integral part of who you are. Like, it's like, you know, like, what do you mean no one noticed that about you before, you know?
Yeah.
Because we do have a tendency, again, both parts of it. One, that we do it to ourselves, but two, that it's a symptom, as it were, of the culture. So how powerful is that, that that's a part of what you do for people? Or with
it really makes my day.
Yeah. Oh, I imagine. So cool. I love it. Man, so you have done some really amazing things and are doing amazing things and helping others to bring their magic into the world, right? Which is just amazing and powerful, quite frankly. And a gift, both to you and to the clients and to your world, or to the world. I truly think that. I think that, and to the animals that you work for, right? That you advocate for. So what is the, because not every day is rainbows and butterflies and awesomeness, because we live in the real world. What is your, things are rough today. I need to do something to help either shake the funk or get out of this or whatever.
Yeah.
Do you have a go-to, or is it an ever-changing, evolving thing?
I have a few, and I would say one of the first is to just stop working and listen to what I want to do. I will get into bed in the middle of the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I will watch an episode of New Girl in the middle of the afternoon.
Yes.
I will, reschedule things and go for a walk in the woods with the dogs or on the beach. I really believe that if I don't want to be doing something and I don't feel like it, there's a good reason. And if possible, I don't do it then. I just give myself a break. I'm a huge proponent of self-care. I also have an autoimmune disorder.
Mm.
I contracted Epstein-Barr, which is an autoimmune virus, when I was 19. So I've had it my whole life, or practically. And that means that when I'm tired or I'm stressed, I need to stop or I get sick.
Right.
So I take really good care of myself. I sleep at least 8 hours a night. I exercise, eat healthy food. All of those things are really, really important.
Mm-hmm.
But, if I'm having a bad day, I stop. I get help. I ask for help. I talk to a friend. I tell my husband to make dinner. And I just do what I need to do.
Mm. Yeah. That's great. So I have arthritis and have had some other chronic health stuff. And so I get that. I get that. And and some of it is it forces you into really becoming kind of a master of self-care. The upside to that is being really good at self-care is a pretty freaking awesome thing to be good at.
I agree.
Because it does make the other things better, right? It does mean that when I'm working on something, I can give it everything I've got. Because I've taken that time and that. Likewise, I require more rest than the quote unquote average person. So I do that and I build it in. I build it into my schedule and I'm really intentional about how I do those things. I am not married. I got divorced a few years ago. And so that was a big shift too, because I had sort of built a system that worked for the situation that I was in.
Right.
And even now, with the kids getting older, I keep having to reframe that system a little bit. and shift it. But the really cool thing about kids getting older is that, you know what? They can totally make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich for themselves. right?
Yep.
I can say, you know what, guys? There's nothing left in the tank tonight. Like, you...
Yep.
I need you guys. There's peanut butter and jelly. There's some cereal.
Yeah. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Yeah.
You do it.
Right, but also I love about that I can be really real with them about that in a way that's not like, oh my gosh, feel sorry for me, but in a way that's like, you get to acknowledge this in yourself too. You get to say no and take care of yourself when you need to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's easy to not do that if you've never had that example in front of you. And
yeah, for sure.
For so many people, you don't. You know, you come from... you know, moms in particular, that women thing that we often run into where we are serving everyone else and, you know, on the extreme end of it, like that martyrdom thing. but we see that as our example often. And so just to be able to acknowledge that and see that example of like, no, mm-hmm. Oh, it's okay to say no sometimes, and it's okay to...
Yeah. To
take a little break and take some time out. And then you know what we do? We get back at it.
Totally. It's such a great example to give to kids.
Mm. So what is kind of your favorite lesson then that you've been able to give your daughter?
So definitely the piece that you just talked about actually has been really important. Like, you need to put yourself first. You need to take care of yourself. You get to ask for help. I'm the same way. Like, I kind of teach her that by modeling it.
Mm-hmm.
But also, you know, just the one of the things that I hope that she's seen, and I think she has because we talk about it a lot. She's 14, so
okay.
It's an awesome age for dialogue. But, you know, is that... if things aren't working, you get to say, no, this has to change. And I really hope that she takes that with her, because that's been one of the most important parts of this journey, which is that I have been able to make the space to evaluate what's working and what isn't, and walk the hell away from the things that aren't working.
Yes. Yes. Letting go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ugh. I love that. That's so great that you're teaching her that, or, you know, really openly discussing that. And okay, so on a less serious note, or it could be really serious if you want it to, what is your favorite thing right now? And you can take that any way you want.
Oh my gosh, I would never be able to pick just one. I mean, everything from like the color of the woods in Maine right now to putting lots of potato chips on turkey sandwiches, like in the body of the sandwich, is really important to me.
Ooh. Well, it's good to have things you feel strongly about.
I feel really strongly about it. My husband would laugh if he could hear me, because he'd be like, yeah, no, she feels really strongly about this right now. To spending time with my kid, I just can't get enough of her. She's my favorite person in the world. To, you know, plotting mass takeover of the universe through dog rescue and empowering women. I think those are pretty top of my list right now.
Oh, I love that. Well, yeah, and we emailed about that, eh? So, very cool. All right, Britt, well, if people want to connect with you, through, you know, technology, I will put everything in the show notes for you. And, but I would love for you to just verbally give them how to find you, whether online, social media, website, whatever floats your boat.
Yep. So the website is really simple. It's just www.inarmscoaching.com, all one word. You can also just Google Britt Bolnick. There aren't a lot of Britt Bolnicks, if there are any other than me. I've never found them. I'm really active on Facebook, so Britt Bolnick is my personal profile. Pity Posse Rescue and Sanctuary is very active on Facebook. And then my In Arms Coaching page is up on Facebook, but I also have a membership group that's free for women called Tribe of Sacred Biz Rebels, and I do a lot in there.
Okay.
And those are kind of the places that I hang out.
Cool. Is there anything, I'm trying to be really cognizant of your time. I know you have a little one to go scoop up, or a young one to scoop up. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our audience, or with me?
You know, I really encourage, I mean, obviously people who are following you are really invested in things like the amazing content that you're bringing around topics like resiliency and authenticity and freedom. But I really just, I want to applaud listeners who are taking the time to listen to your podcast and podcasts like it, but give us a pause button on our lives and let us really take a second just to like drop in and see, like, is this, you know, is this good? Is this what we want? And if not, what needs to change? And I think that the proliferation of podcasts like yours and others are really a sign that people are doing this and people want to think about what's happening and what they want and, you know, what they need and be inspired. So thank you to you for doing this podcast, and thank you to all the listeners who are taking, you know, choosing to spend their time this way.
Well, thank you for speaking to that. And I appreciate your time and you sharing with everyone. But absolutely, yes, thank you, listeners. And really, I'm not going to say any more about it because Britt just said it so well. But yeah, thank you for your time and for sharing your story and just chatting with me. It was fun. So I am going to round this out, but I am looking forward to connecting with you again and keeping up with you and all the really great stuff that you're doing.
Thank you so, so much again for this opportunity. And I can't wait to share it with my community so that they can find your podcast and listen to what you're up to.
Great. Yeah. Well, we'll get this out there into the world soon here and ready, you know, get that out there for them. All right. Have a great day, Britt. Thanks so much.
You too. Bye. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com, or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.